You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Coming to you live from the United Center ahead of the Bulls home opener. It's a special edition of the Bernstein and Harris Show with Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris, and Layla Rahimi.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And you talk about the studios that are just ideal on a night of a Bulls game. How about right here on the concourse, right here? Section 102 on the concourse, right by the entrance. Bernstein, Harris, Rahimi here to get you ready for the Bulls and the Thunder after last night's exciting victory on the road at Milwaukee, 133-122.
I was already ready. As soon as that game ended, I was like, oh, I'm going to work tomorrow. Let's go. Because here's what that game did, I think, not only for myself, but for anyone who generally calls themselves a Bulls fan and says this is going to be a tough season. It gave you a blueprint of how the Bulls can have success with this roster, this style of play. Rule number one, don't turn the ball over. Rule number two, let it fly.
That's exactly what I thought when I was watching it. I said this is the prototypical game. Like, if you want to know what they visualize as how this team is going to look, I don't know how many miles that team ran last night up and down the floor, but it was the pace they wanted. It was the space they wanted. And your life is going to be a lot easier when you shoot 44.7% from three.
And part of me was unhappy. Because I've been saying this for 3 years. 3 years. How many times have I come in after a Bulls game and I look at the number of threes they're shooting, and it was the old joke. DeMar DeRozan, 3-point field goal, random NBA guy, and now you just lost a point. Like, the math is right. They're out of DeMar jail, and I don't know that Arturis can say that when we ask him.
No.
But is it that simple? Was it really that simple? Like, now, in the rebuilding year, now you realize what it takes to win in the NBA?
They had to beat a team 133-122. No, it is not that simple. Defense is an issue here as well.
Oh, they're terrible at it. It's not even really an issue. They don't even bother. But if you shoot 44% from three-point range on 47 threes, you're going to win a lot of games. Too many.
I think the problem is, how turnstile will the defense be?
Very.
And that is the question that we still don't have an answer to. I know your assumed answer, Dan, is very. But Billy Donovan can coach. Do we agree on that premise?
Yes.
So I think he will get the best out of this group. And learning his rotations and finding out who is going to be able to give him some defense. You know, we didn't see Lonzo Ball last night, and that might have been a plus, because they were able to play freely. And when Lonzo Ball's on the floor, and this could be proven wrong in the coming days, I think everybody has a little bated breath situation going on, just kind of waiting, hoping that you won't be clutching your pearls after a run up and down the floor in the half court on defense or offense.
Yeah, my larger concern is his change of direction defensively. We talked about that with Darnell Mayberry yesterday, right, when we saw what C.J. McCollum was doing to him repeatedly and just backing up and running at him, going right around him. So we'll see. I do think the one thing about Lonzo is, if he can make that stretch pass, make that the
super outlet,
quick pass up the floor, usually it's the secondary pass off the outlet. Rebounder gets it to him. He looks up, advances the ball. Then he's a valuable spacer. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between him and Giddey. Is that he can go to the corner and make 40% of those.
They still had what I thought was valuable floor setting last night, oh, even with
beautiful
the pace that they were playing.
It's beautiful.
With. I was
five
really,
out.
I was really happy to see Kobe White. You could see there were times when he's like, "Hey, slow down," especially at the toward the end of the game when the lead did shrink. And you're going to expect that when you're playing Milwaukee at home, that that's going to happen. They were able to withstand their runs, and even that third quarter was just night and day from what we saw against New Orleans. That. It was a competitive and fun game to watch and gave me a lot of encouragement for what I see out of the plan. I don't know about that pick, but it was still something that we enjoyed seeing visualized last night.
Avoiding the live ball turnovers, avoiding any turnovers. They only turned it over nine times, and the difference nine times that that makes with this team, if you're going to shoot it within the first 10 seconds of the shot clock, and there's going to be a ton of possessions, you just can't be giving up three-on-ones and two-on-nones and the number of dunks that they were giving up in New Orleans. I thought if to make the most of your possessions and at least don't turn yours into buckets for them because you're kicking the ball around.
Speaking of dunks, I know we are on Vooch poster alert. And we got one of those last night.
Oh, I told you.
Yeah, that was rough.
That
this is the poster machine should automatically include.
And was it, that was like off an inbound?
Yeah,
it was,
Giannis coming full force down the lane. That it didn't matter if that was Vooch. It could have been Chet Holmgren for all I care. He was getting the work.
Hey, don't you? If you haven't seen Chet Holmgren.
Oh, I've seen him. I watched the season opener against Denver.
That's real.
Man, they made Denver look like 2023 may have not happened.
Yeah, I think this about Chet Holmgren. Not only are the Thunder as an organization a problem because of all the assets that they hold, which still I'm trying to understand how that was the best they could get for Alex Caruso, but my overlying point on that is watching them play – if they stay healthy, it's hard for me to envision anybody else getting out of the West.
That's well, how I feel.
Wait till Jokic gets semi-interested. I think it's going to take.
Oh,
him
he
some
was interested
time
and Holmgren.
Yeah, but they'll be fine. I'm not worried about Denver. I think you're still coming through Denver, and we'll see if they're ready yet. But because Shea is starting to understand that he is a genuine superstar in this league. The guy's been an MVP. Vote getter now for a while. If this is his year, if he's the MVP, then you're probably right.
You know, it's narrative driven, so the narrative is it's Shea's turn, much as it was Joel's turn. Now it's Shea's turn, although it could be Luka's turn, based on what I saw from Klay Thompson. If he's going to just be open and be able to power dribble and take a three, the Mavericks are also going to be a problem.
I mean, Luka was number two on the Ringer's top 100 for a reason, right? But to me, SGA, I think, put those who really want to know on notice in the opener against the Bulls last year, you know, when we saw what he was able to do.
That was ugly. That was ugly.
It was, but it told you exactly who the Thunder was, and then they continued to tell you the entire season. So, I mean, if you love hoops, it's a good study to watch the Thunder tonight and see how they present, you know, game to game.
We often talk about the Bears and their tests leading up, Dan. Like, okay, you did it at Milwaukee. That's a great win. Everyone a second. Dame and Giannis were on their game, and you still beat them.
Well, Dame didn't shoot well. Dame had a rough night from three.
Rough night from three, but he was still scoring and creating for his teammates. And to step up in class to OKC, I think this is – going to be very telling tonight.
Well, they still got to lose enough games.
And you say that, but what I tell you, I said they're good enough to win too many games.
Well, we'll see.
We saw it last night.
Because the lesson to be learned from the Oklahoma City rebuild is you can never, ever, ever stockpile too many picks.
That's it.
And the Bulls don't have that. They're trying to initiate a rebuild without draft assets going into a terrific draft. And I think that underpinning, you know, like when I say trade everybody except Buzelis, I'm not running people out of town.
No, you got to get
picks, man. If you really want to shape this in a different image, I understand taking a flyer on the youth and length and vision of Josh Giddey, but to me, that's the lesson of Oklahoma City, is just keep getting assets. And if you need to trade them for bodies later, that's fine. But get draft picks.
I think we also need to make mention, though, of the fact that they knew how to move their superstar to allocate and get those assets and flip them quickly. And I'm talking about Paul George here. I feel like that was a trade where at times you thought it was lopsided for the Clippers. At times you thought it was lopsided for the Thunder. It's worked out for those who needed it to. And that has really set them, I think, so far ahead, you know, given what their current rebuild is looking like right now. That trade sticks in my head for that reason.
So that trade specifically, I pointed out the Harden trade for the Rockets and what that was able to do in terms of adding an actual superstar where a team didn't want to pay him. You've just got to find stuff around the margins to stay good enough, but while also acquiring assets so that when it's time to make the deal for the superstar, you're ready. And right now, it's a matter of having a max contract on the books on your team that you'd like to move, but you got to get stuff back, Dan, to your point.
I don't think there's that much of a market. And we can ask Arturis later in the show. We should mention what we have.
Oh, we got a stack show.
Yeah, we do, because we haven't
really
we haven't told you yet. Joe Cowley is going to join us in the next segment. Sun-Times Bulls reporter will give us his thoughts. We're going to talk with Sarah Smith, the Bulls executive director of marketing. I think they're going to be bringing over all the new food items, and she is going to tell you exactly what you need to know about your United Center Bulls experience this year if you plan to attend. Kendall Gill, the pregame and postgame show analyst on CHSN, is going to join us at 5. Arturis Karnišovas at 5:30. Jamal Collier of ESPN at 6. And Randy Brown, Bulls ambassador, will give us his thoughts at 6:15. So that's all you need.
And Chuck Swirsky got an exclusive interview, apparently, at Shootaround with Alex Caruso, and that's on Bulls pregame.
Ooh.
Yeah, and we're leading you up to Bulls pregame on the score. So we've got a full court press.
Did Chuck tell you
here.
That?
I saw it on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Because Chuck usually gets here pretty early.
I got in with Chuck.
Okay.
I told him I was looking forward to the interview.
Yeah, that's...
It's basketball season, friends. I'm in.
I don't know whether to call this the Alex Caruso revenge game or the Josh Giddey revenge game.
Three threes, Josh. I need three threes tonight.
You got a parlay going?
He had two last night. Let's go.
Yeah, well, one of those was just so open. He took his time. Knocked it down. And that was in the old guts of the game, if you will, mm-hmm. when things were getting close and maybe interesting late. And the Bulls really never let the Bucks make that last hard charge. They kept them at bay in the back half of the fourth quarter. I was impressed by the way they were able to close out that game on the road.
They also utilized the corner three. How nice was that to
they
see?
They utilized all the threes.
Yeah.
And if you miss one, shoot another. And if you miss that one, shoot another. Because they're worth more.
Corner
keep
three,
shooting them.
Top of the key three, break three.
Little elbow wing.
What took so long?
They were counting in threes. You know what took
Why
so long?
Now? I've been screaming about this, and it's like, great. Now you're playing basketball.
Dan.
Finally.
Dan, now they have a lineup where everyone is a willing participant in the three-point shooting
well,
contest.
Well, then you could have tried to deal DeMar before then if you really wanted.
We talked about this last trade deadline.
Know.
And we were all dumbfounded.
Was it really that? It was just that simple?
I think they just wanted to give it a
I don't know
chance.
That it was that simple, but clearly if you have DeMar DeRozan, one of the all-time leading scorers in the NBA.
He's one of the all-time best at something that just isn't valuable anymore.
I mean, I disagree. I don't
think
it's
found another team.
I don't think it's
and they're learning that what the experience is like too.
Yeah, the end of game situation for the Sacramento Kings first game, I watched it. You know, I got the league pass, so you know I was all tuned in. DeMar and the Kings as a team struggled in the final couple of minutes of that game against the Timberwolves and one Anthony Edwards who looked every bit Anthony Edwards-ish. So I think that's going to be a work in progress. But, yeah, Dan, when you have five guys on the floor and any of them are willing to take the open three as it comes to them in rhythm, it's a different thing. And it's not like DeMar never shot threes. He just specialized in the between the – paint and between the arc.
It was a pace
Zach
thing,
LaVine
too.
Zach LaVine did a little bit of that last night, my friend.
But look, if you're
Zach
attacking...
Zach LaVine did a little bit of that.
Yeah, and he's... Zach will do that. Zach's going to do what he does.
But Zach will also just take 10 threes if that's what you want him to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, he's a shooter.
Sure.
When he gets a shot, he can shoot. And that was the thing that impressed me maybe the most of the offense last night is, oh, they were listening when Billy explained to them first 7 seconds of the shot clock because
uh-huh.
they were letting that thing fly. There was no hesitation. Kobe was out here. Whew! just throwing it up. And he had a rough shooting night in game one. But in game two, he says, there ain't no problem.
They got to their spots, and they're playing five out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you aren't clogging lanes, when you aren't moving defenders toward other people, when you're that spread out, Zach just sees open floor. And so, I mean, Zach can bring it up, and if he wants to shoot it, that's fine. But I know he's licking his chops.
To blow
because,
by.
Because, yeah, right. Everything's wide open there.
I also think the innate construction of saying this is how we want to play, but we also want to set Zach LaVine up for a catch-and-shoot three. Those two factors alone will make your team space differently. We even saw them play inside-outside through Vooch very effectively last night. Vooch got a touch in the paint. He'd kick it out, made three. Like, that was rhythm there.
And then Vooch steps out and hits a three of his own. So
yes.
He took nine.
I'm okay with that.
Because he made four.
And it was a terrible night from Io DeSumo. That's, I mean, their shooting is, even with Io's 0 for 5, Zach LaVine's 2 for 6. We saw a little bit of what the vision is of what Jalen Smith can do. That for him, in just under 15 minutes, to have 11 points and 5 boards and 3 threes, that's some pretty serious production off the bench. And he was terrible in that first game.
I think one of the keys to the team's success, and Jalen's in particular, Layla Dan, is the fact that he was in other offenses prior to this where he wasn't really looked upon to do that at the rate. Now anybody can get it. On any given night, anybody can get it.
It's true.
It's like when you head out, anybody can get it tonight.
This is Saturday night, Marshall Harris. Welcome to the experience.
I have no idea what that means. When I head out, anybody can be asleep by 10.
Yeah, I'll probably be asleep by 10.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, okay.
Although last night, I did what I said I was going to do.
Big Chinese, right?
Oh, I ordered all.
Give us the menu.
Yeah.
Big time onions.
It was a barbecue pork chow fun. I did the large Szechuan eggplant spicy, hot and sour soup, and two egg rolls with their homemade mustard, not the mustard in the packets.
Okay.
Because their actual homemade Chinese mustard is just the best at Wasun. And it showed up in like 20 minutes.
Ooh.
They're so fast. They teleport. I don't know how they do it. They don't. They use their own drivers too. It's usually either the owner or his wife, and it's like it's there in 2 seconds.
That's exciting.
It was so exciting, and there's leftovers.
And then after I changed the TV,
and I ate at the coffee table, and nobody could yell at me because I'm alone.
Did you do what I did and then change the channel from the Bulls game over to Dodgers and Yankees?
Just in time.
Oh my goodness!
That was.
They told me Freddie Freeman was hurt.
He is. He is hurt.
Shohei Ohtani was due up in the inning. Like, you knew what you were going to get.
You know who else is hurt? Nestor Cortez.
Poor Nestor.
He's got a bad arm. And he's like, I guess I'll pitch.
That's a problem when you're a pitcher, to have a bad arm.
Yeah, he's got a bum flipper.
Think you need that in
flipper.
The World Series, in extras?
Yeah.
What is he doing bringing him in? What are you doing?
He had a good run, I guess he said, in the last few months. So he believed in him.
But he didn't. You had two healthy lefties sitting there in your bullpen. I don't know. I don't know. I know that you got to – it's the three-batter minimum rule, but that was I do not understand that managerial decision. At least when Kirk Gibson hit his homer, it was off the like one of the best closers of all time. At least the right guy was on the mound.
Eckersley. So, you know, both those home runs were hit at the exact same time?
What?
8:37 local time.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
That's cool.
The Kirk Gibson and then the Freddie Freeman, and they were big ones.
That was an incredible atmosphere. There is nothing like, if you've ever seen Dodger Stadium in person, just look straight up to see the four decks. I can't even imagine what that must have been like last night. I get goosebumps like recalling it by memory.
It's been the site of a lot of special moments in the postseason. And to Dan's point earlier this week, pointing out just this, when you talk about the story tradition of both these franchises, the Yankees and the Dodgers, we thought we might get a classic, but you couldn't have predicted how game one was going to go down to set the table for the rest of the series.
Not to mention that the starting pitcher for the Dodgers was a guy whose velocity was frightening people, and it was dropping down to like 91, 92, and now he's out there, he's starting 96, and his knuckle curve was great. He had him off balance the entire time.
You know who might be the happiest about that grand slam? Michael Kopech.
Yeah. Well, I think he's happy just not on the White Sox anymore.
Godspeed, Michael Kopech. Godspeed.
We are the Bernstein and Harris Show with Layla Rahimi sitting in doing a special one-off Saturday pre-game Bulls conversation.
Thing.
That's what it is.
Extravaganza.
Yes.
And it is an extravaganza.
And we are on the concourse at United Center. You should come by and say hello and wave at us and point at us like we are zoo animals.
You can laugh at us if you want.
You laugh at us. Yeah.
Don't feed the animals because we have food coming.
Yeah,
we apparently have luxurious riches coming.
Lots
and Rich
of food.
Wyatt is here, too, somewhere.
Yes, the most luxurious rich of all, Rich Wyatt. Tito. Joe Cowley is scheduled to join us next, and we look forward to that conversation. He will give us his always unvarnished Bulls opinions and maybe some thoughts on the Steelers
yes.
when we come back on the screen.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Score.
Bulls getting. Walks over the midcourt line with a belt high left-hand dribble on the right side. Wide open, Kobe White, left corner, rainbow three. Got it! Kobe White!
And that's
with his seventh three ball. And this ball game is over. Hold my beer, Milwaukee. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! 133-122.
Oh, my.
Time to dance here in Wisconsin.
Hold my beer, Milwaukee. Okay, I'm not quite sure that's what that idiom means, but that's okay, because when you get a win like that, you can get excited however you want, and you will hear Chuck and Bill and Alyssa on the call tonight here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bernstein and Harris, Layla Rahimi, and now Joe Cowley on Twitter at Jay Cowley Hoops, Sun-Times Bulls reporter, is here on site. How you
don't
been?
Don't follow. It's a bad follow. Don't do it.
Oh, I follow.
No.
If you like Steelers trash talk, it's great.
It's bad follow. Bad guy.
Well, I know that, but that's why it's fun.
Joe, were you taken aback as I was watching that game last night to see what happened?
Well, the thing that was impressive was you had a plan, and it was executed to perfection. I mean, that was, you know, Billy Donovan comes into the camp, and he's told us before that we want to play quicker, we want to do this, we want to do this. Seldom are they able to do it because of the personnel. But for them to come in and execute like they did, and look, I think Milwaukee's a little overrated. I don't think Doc Rivers is the greatest coach. I think that's been exposed for the last couple of years, but I mean, that was as pretty a basketball as I've seen from a Billy Donovan team in quite some time. So, good win as far as fans feeling good about their coach. You know, I think there's some doubts about the coach the last couple of years. I don't think so. I think the Bulls can only get a second-tier coach. You're not going to get one of those top five elite. And I think Billy came in and actually showed, look, this is what Billy Ball is going to be about, and this is how we're going to play, and you guys have a month to figure it out, and you've already seen them start to figure it out.
We love hearing his stories. There's no doubt about that. It's fun to just hear him talk about the game, which you and I have done a million times.
Right.
But the thing to me was always whether or not he wanted to be part of a rebuild. And I don't know what you call this, but so far, so good. I mean, that is a concept realized that we haven't seen in a long time.
Well, I think the problem at OKC was he didn't want to be part of a rebuild that he had no say in. So there's a difference when you can't buy your own, you know, recipe. You can't buy do your own groceries. And so here he has a say. You know, at the end of the year, they come to him. He still reaches out to a lot of college coaches and talks to guys. They give him a list of hey, this guy, this guy, this guy. This is the film on this guy. So he kind of has a say. Hey, do you like this guy, this guy? OKC, I mean, that is the front office is the smartest front office in the NBA. Just ask them. And the coach coaches, and they do everything else. So I think it was kind of taken out of context of I don't want to be part of a rebuild that I have no say in.
When you see this team, no Lonzo Ball last night, we've seen him now for one game, and we're kind of all wondering what's this going to look like over the course of a season. How do you envision, as it's been explained to you and just in talking to Lonzo himself, how this is going
to
work?
Well, I think the dream scenario for them is they get him up to 22 to 24 minutes, and then they can move him. I mean, I think
nobody's trading
for him. You think
somebody
would be interested in him?
Expiring contract for a playoff team, he comes off your bench and gives you 22 minutes to right the ship with your second team and plays defense like he's been.
Experimental knee surgery.
It's not. It's an expiring contract. You're in for nothing.
I agree with you on the expiring contract aspect of it. That makes sense. We've seen all kinds of contracts move just because it was literally an expiring contract.
He might be their best trade asset by the time February rolls around.
Boy, that would if you got a second for him.
Oh, that's all they need.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you're going to get.
Okay. I mean, if we're not talking about anything blockbuster here.
No.
If you could move that deal for a second, that's a massive
victory. Just look. Say you throw him on Boston coming off the bench with that second unit. You put him on the Lakers coming off the bench with that second unit. I mean, there's so many teams. As long as the knee holds up.
That's the thing.
If the knee doesn't hold up, all bets are off.
And I have yet to see him move defensively in a way that
What about the team here tonight? Oklahoma City, who's got a ton of second round picks.
We know.
They got all of them.
Yes. Yeah.
That's an interesting situation. I don't know. I know this team here tonight is the truth.
Yeah, without question.
In your opinion, Joe, watching all the basketball that you have, OKC is the blank best team in the NBA. Like, for me, I'm only putting...
I'd say third.
Okay. I was going to say, obviously, the Celtics to me are the creme de la creme. And then
without
after
question.
That, you can make an argument. The OKC's right there, whether it's Denver, Dallas, although Dallas looks really good. It's been we're very newly into this season.
Right.
But I'm saying they're definitely one of the scariest teams, if nothing
right.
else.
They kind of went out like dogs in that playoff series
right.
last year.
But they're
so
young.
They still have to show well, – that's the thing.
Yeah.
They have to show that they now have that grown-up piece and they can go out and start putting their foot on teams' throats.
I love the five-out stuff that the Bulls are now committed
right.
to running because that's – it now looks like NBA basketball.
Yes.
Finally. Was it as simple as getting out of the DeMar box? I know that's sort of the Occam's razor here, that you couldn't do this when you had DeMar. DeMar's gone, now you can do this?
Well, you didn't want to do it when you had DeMar.
But because you could. I wanted to.
There's still teams that are productive that have mid-range guys. I mean, that still exists in the NBA. So I don't want to say that DeMar was the reason that this thing couldn't bloom into what we're seeing now. What DeMar did for these guys from a leadership role, they're not here without DeMar. So Kobe is not second and most improved if it's not for DeMar. Io is, I don't think, anywhere near he is if it's not for DeMar. I mean, I've never seen, and I'd probably have to go back to my White Sox days, to say that guys that have come in and been instant leaders and had instant impact, and that's hard for teams to get a guy like that. DeMar was the best leader I've ever been around.
So who do you think takes that on, at least tries to now?
Kobe.
Is that in his nature?
Yes. I think we started seeing that early last year. There was a game in Toronto. Billy was calling for last minute of a game. They're trying to match up, close game. Billy was calling something defensively, and Kobe didn't like what he called because he had Zach on a guy that Kobe felt more comfortable with. He went and grabbed Zach. Zach's like, he's telling Zach, switch. Zach went, listen, he went and physically grabbed him and kind of shoved him off the guy and took him. And that was early on. And then DeMar told us, no, he's been vocal this whole camp, and he's been getting guys' butts this whole camp. So I think he is a guy they're listening to because he's got a little Jimmy Butler in him as far as the work ethic, the stuff you don't see in the offseason.
But without the vainglory.
Jimmy's vainglory was glorious. Let me just tell you. When Hollywood Jimmy came back from that one year, it was just glorious. It rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, but I loved it.
Fun culture Joe Kelly has entered the building.
Who was the White Sox leader, AJ?
When AJ came, yeah. Instantly changed the culture as far as put Don Cooper in his place. We don't need to have your meetings. I know how to pitch everybody, so you're just my. I remember pitch sequences better than you can, you know, stuff a ham sandwich in your pie hole. So, no, he instantly just came in with that kind of dicky attitude and just turned that team into a bunch of guys with chips on their shoulders.
Wow.
I don't know that we could say that.
Oh, I don't know. They're pants.
Prickly.
They're,
it's a whole
prickly. Pants. They're pants.
Okay. Dickie's pants. You never had a pair?
Like, yeah, we could.
Yeah, you know what?
They are. I worked in retail.
They are for work.
Yeah,
they are for work.
I worked in retail.
Wait a second.
I had a pair of Dickies.
Can I lead into the Jimmy Butler references and
Dickie
talk for
Betts,
a second?
The guitarist.
Where does? Do you think he stays with Miami the rest of the season?
If Miami wants him, I mean, you know, Jimmy.
There's like gossip about whether or not that team is going to be what it is.
Jimmy, his life cycle lasts for so long. So I think, you have to get, what is this?
Oh, yeah.
You showed up.
This is your
right
thank
time,
you
Callie.
Present for the from the Bulls. Wow.
Are you
kidding?
Goodness.
Can you guys?
This is oh, you got honey butter fried chicken here now?
They've got a lot of stuff.
Chef Scott is here.
For those of you listening right now, they are bringing us food and drinks.
Fries, honey butter fried chicken.
Oh my
I don't
God.
Know if that's buffalo
we
sauce.
We have some sort of purple cheese. Drink
that's
that looks very
butter.
Good.
Yep.
There's a pink drink.
Hot sauce.
There's a lot
this
of,
is exciting.
There's can I a lot eat of stuff. In the media room?
Ooh.
Is this not
guys,
in the media room?
This is incredible.
Oh my God.
It's a lot
buffalo.
Of stuff going on.
I'll take a buffalo.
Oh, okay.
Now,
okay.
I saw a little bit of this on CHN, CHSN a couple
pimento
nights ago.
Cheese on them.
Mm-hmm. Fries with pimento
cheese? Fries, yes.
Oh, and we got the Alabama game on. Look at that.
And we're doing a radio show.
I just want to know.
Thank you so much. Joe, this is all, you know, this is how
for
the Bulls
me.
Thank you
thank
for
you.
Being on.
Yeah, I'm sure the Bulls would
and then they
taste
wanna,
mine just to make sure.
They want to hear
your
little
hot assistant
take.
Come yeah. out and just make sure it's yeah. not
thank you, guys. I know
hemlock.
That's
this
awesome.
Is just part of the offerings
you,
that you guys have here. I know there's more stuff. I saw some steak dinner earlier. Boom.
I just know.
In the
Oh my
Chef
God.
Scott Perez yeah, letting
stuff,
us know what's happening. Thank
more
you so
stuff
much.
Going on.
In the next segment, we're going to talk all about this.
Yeah, yes. and that's fine. I want to get back to the task at hand.
So we don't know if Jimmy Butler is leaving the Heat or not.
I think if they want Jimmy to leave, it won't be Jimmy's choice. It will be their choice. It would be Pat Riley saying, I'm Jimmy'd out.
That's pretty much how the Pat Riley era has gone, so
But he and D-Wade's breakup took a lot out of him. I just, like, I don't think he views Jimmy the same way, but there's something there.
I want to get back to one thing that you mentioned before when you said that the expiring contract of a healthy enough Lonzo Ball might be their most movable asset.
Yes.
Let's rank these assets now.
Oh, that's
because
perfect.
Obviously, you would love to move Zach, and you'd like to get more firsts in this draft, because it's such a stocked draft.
Yeah, you're not getting a first for Zach. You're not even – there's
not right now.
You probably will not be able to move Zach realistically until trade deadline next season.
Really?
When there's only a year and a half left on the
– But no, what about years. Injuries? Somebody's going to have an injury. Somebody is going to crave 25 points a game.
Yeah, but okay, so right now, say the team that right now is craving Zach's points the most because of the new arena is the Clippers. They have no room for him.
Right.
And they have nothing to send him.
Right.
You can match the money all you want. So, okay, so what about the rumor about the Lakers? Go ahead and try finding a draft asset for that. Okay, what about Ben Simmons? They don't want it to – they're trying to get Cooper Flagg and blow things up. They want a bad Ben Simmons with a contract that's not as long as Zach's. It's just – we've gone through the whole scenario, and trust me, so have the Bulls and so has Zach's people, and that's why he came in to Media Day with his little, hey, I just want to get in front of this. I'm going to 8 Mile everybody. Before you start B-rabbiting me.
That's a great reference.
I know I'm not a great winner, but we're not going to go with negativity and blah, blah, blah.
I said I could not have written that better, the way he inoculated.
No, he didn't write it. But
whoever did wrote that in a way
that wasn't off the cuff?
that's clutch.
Inoculated then they did a good job.
Against yes. the arguments, and he listed is like, this is I'm bad at this. I'm not great at this. I've been criticized for this before. Like I'll do
whatever Billy says.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, and so far, you know, it's they seem. I think when Billy went out to L.A. and then down to Miami when they had their little mini camp, I think they repaired the bridge enough to hold some weight. If it stays that way the whole season, we'll see. But as of right now, Zach, I think, was told by his people that the best way for you to get out of here is be a good soldier.
So can they move Io? Can they move Vooch? Can they move Patrick Williams?
Dan wants to move Io, and it hurts.
Don't pee me like that.
Everyone that's not last name
Bazelis. Okay. I want first-round picks.
I understand that. I mean, they do, too. They do. Well, some of the front office does. The problem is, does AK?
We will ask him.
I don't think he holds second-round picks as high as some NBA teams do, even though his reputation and Joker was a second-round pick. But for some reason, holding on to Andre Drummond when you could have had multi-second-round picks from Philadelphia, knowing you weren't going to re-sign him, was completely malpractice. But I think that's just the way he thinks. And so when he comes on at 5:30, you guys should ask him about that. Joe Colley wants to know.
Well, then we're not going to get an answer. He'll be like, gotta go.
I do think we have to ask him how much he does value second-round picks when it comes to trying to build what he wants to see out of the future of this team. That is a fair question.
Yes. And so that's the frustrating thing of what happens, you know, with this team since last February is they missed the deadline to cash out on their best assets, Caruso and Drummond. And then they go into the season. Now you got to sell lower. Well, Drummond wasn't even a sell. You just let him walk away. And so how high of a value do you put on second-round picks? But more importantly, how high of a value do you put on competing and butts in the seats versus buying a lottery ticket for the Cooper Flag lottery? Because I will say this. When I was in Vegas for a couple days in Summer League, I got the chance to sit with Tom Tibbs and just talk just regular basketball. And he said the highlights that they were showing on ESPN of Cooper Flag against, you know, he was team select against Team USA is nothing compared to what he was doing that wasn't on the highlights. He is
that guy.
Seismic organizational game changer. And there's some scouts that think Ace Bailey is not far behind him. So it's 14.9% if you're the worst three teams. Let me buy that lottery ticket. Because you have to find that dude. Until you find that dude, you got this crap ending in South Beach every year. That's
wow. It. That's very poignant by Joe Colley.
I know you got work to do, and we'll let you get back to it. Much appreciated. Great to see you.
Good to see all you guys.
Thanks so
much,
Joe.
We didn't even bother you about the Steelers.
What's there to bother? The standard's the damn standard. Woo! You see what's going on.
You know who I think they should play a quarterback.
They got the right guy.
Yeah, they do have the right guy.
Yeah. They've got a great backup.
In Tomlin, we trust.
Who went 4-2.
I want that fourth rounder.
Oh, that's fair.
What are you going to do? Get a Velus Jones and blow that pick?
That's a third rounder.
Well, at least they cut him.
Oh, sorry.
They finally, you know, I got a lot of flack for calling him out at the at preseason. And look at us now.
All I know is I'd like to, again, I do it on Twitter a lot, is thank Ryan Poles for Joey Porter Jr. For the Chase Claypool trade.
That hurts.
That's Joe Colley.
Don't follow me.
At Joe Colley Hoops. You can not follow him at Joe Colley Hoops over on the artist formerly known as Twitter.
We will talk to Bulls Executive Director of Marketing, Sarah Smith, when we come back. And we're digging into some of this honey butter fried chicken during the break, I'm sure, on The Score.
Yeah. You're listening to a special edition of the Bernstein and Harris Show with Layla Rahimi, live from the United Center on The Score.
Waiting for the doors to open at the United Center for the Bulls home opener. Your 1-1 Chicago Bulls coming off of a 133-122 win last night in Milwaukee. The Oklahoma City Thunder are here, and we are joined now by Bulls Executive Director of Marketing, Sarah Smith, here on the concourse. Thanks for having us out here, by the way.
Thanks for having me. This is a ton of fun.
Well, let's start with what's in front of us. We get this great food drop from all the chefs who do a wonderful job here, as we know. Honey butter fried chicken. We've got fries with pimento cheese, other fries over here, some drinks. So let's just start with what is new food-wise at the UC this year.
I think that every year we try to kind of mix it up and bring out some new offerings for our
fan, so I think everything ranging from what's in front of you to different desserts, drinks, you name it, we'll roll it out for you. So this is a very wide selection here at the UC.
This seems like opening night here at United Center for the Bulls is such a big deal, and I know you guys put so much work into it. You've got the T-shirts out here, and I asked you, how long does it take to put a red T-shirt, because for the Sea Red theme, on each seat? And that's not like a five-minute thing, right?
No, it was not. It was probably about an hour and a half, and I would say there was about 40 of us out there. Everybody had a designated section of the arena that we were focused on, but I think it's really just all about what's going to make an impact. When fans walk into the bowl, what do they see? And it's pretty stunning once you see all the red T-shirts all over the seat. So we wanted to kind of give fans that little extra excitement as they came into the game.
The opening last year, I think the home opener was some high theater. We saw a really theatrical production to begin. What can you tell us about what we can watch before tip-off tonight?
Yeah, we have a lot going on. Doors are opening early, so at 5 p.m. fans can come in and get the party started. But if you head to the atrium, we have a special Sea Red pregame party. So we have a DJ, we have a hologram machine, we have half-off beers, we have entertainment performances, you name it. Really just to kind of get everybody excited to be back here at the United Center. So from the second you walk into the game to the second you leave, we try to program every single minute.
One thing that I've really enjoyed is how artistic the dance routines have gotten. You know, going from, it seems like just yesterday that it was pretty basic, like cheerleaders and dance, and now there's a really advanced choreography going on with all kinds of ambitious and artistic ideas here. How are you working that in? And is that everywhere in the NBA, or is that something that's being pioneered here?
I think we're really lucky. Michelle McComas, who's our executive director of game entertainment and events, has done an amazing job. She's a leader in the industry, a leader in the NBA. She really is so thoughtful about every single performance we have. We really think through it and make sure that it's all part of a comprehensive experience that our fans are going to have in the arena. So every single performance is tons of meetings, tons of conversations to figure out what's the best approach. So it's a really thoughtful approach for sure.
And I just hope that people understand that regardless of what is actually happening in the game action, like you say, the experiential, the immersion into this. I've talked to somebody who hadn't been to a Bulls game in a long time. And he went to the game and I said, how was it? And he said it's a multi-sensory experience now. He says it's not a basketball game. It's a show.
Oh, definitely. It's a sports entertainment experience at its finest, and we like to think we kind of lead the industry, lead the NBA with that. So there's really something for everybody. If it's a performance on the court, we have a Bulls Kid Nation zone for youth and family up on the 300 level. So if you're bringing your kids, they can come and get a My First Game certificate. They could get their photo with Benny. We really try to think through every step of the fan journey and how to make it the best experience possible.
It's great because it seems like every year there's something different, right? There's a new wrinkle. There's things being added all the time. What I want to know is, from a brainstorming perspective, is it like the season ends and you're like, okay, what can we do better next year? Or is, how long does that process take to get us to an opening night like this at United Center?
Great question. I think it's definitely the entire offseason we're having those conversations. So as soon as the season ends, we start thinking about the next season. So it's been the length of the summer to think through what our theme nights are going to be, what our giveaways are going to be, what the performances will be. It's really a collaborative effort internally with leads from all the different teams to come together to figure out how we bring these theme nights to life.
Do you have a favorite theme night that you're bringing to us this year?
I mean, that's a really hard question to answer. I'd probably say Los Bulls in March is one. We work really closely to celebrate our Latine fan base, both here in Chicago and across the globe. So that one, every single detail from the community activations to the in-game performances to the retail offerings, it's really just a special night. So that'd probably be my favorite, but I have to wait till March for that, I guess.
I'm also looking forward to just honoring Derrick Rose. That was something that Michael Reinsdorf talked about immediately once he made his announcement. What can you tell us about that night, for example?
Yeah, we're just really excited to be part of that celebration, and we know how much Derrick means not only to the Bulls but to the entire city of Chicago. I can't tell you how many texts and phone calls I got about that night just from friends and family. So we're really excited to welcome him home and make it be a special experience.
I know you can't control who's on the roster, and it is losing Alex Caruso, you lost a big fan favorite. Who now is, when it comes to Q rating, obviously Coby White we know has just been through the roof. Io DeSumo, because of the local angle, has been something. But do I try to identify who is going to be pushed, who's going to be out front?
We're lucky that they all have their different personalities and interests, and we really try to work with them to learn more about what are they interested in, what do they want to be a part of. And so we've taken a deeper dive, and they all bring something different to the table. Everything you've named, they all kind of have their different details that make them special. So for us, from a marketing perspective, it's kind of a blank canvas we have to work with to team players up to different initiatives. So we're lucky that we have a lot to work with and a lot of great guys.
And they're receptive?
They're totally receptive, and they love Chicago. They love our fans, and they really want to be part of the experience. And I think when our fans get to learn more about our players, they feel closer to our brand. So from a marketing perspective, it all kind of aligns that way.
I feel like also the United Center specifically has something for everyone. Like when I walked in after the atrium and saw the DJ setting up for just a chill atmosphere out there, if you want to have a good time, you're walking past a convenience store sponsored by Pepsi where you can just, if you need just a soda, you can walk by and get that. There's all these different experiences. If you want an ice bar, Kettle One is right here next to us. How do you describe that to people who just may want a different experience? They don't know that they can get a little bit of it all here.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it. It's a one-stop shop for any type of sports entertainment experience you want to have, and you can go kind of as intense and immersive as you want, or it could be a little standoffish, and there's a little bit something for everybody. And we encourage people to bring their friends, bring their family, and really make it an outing. Come for dinner, stay for the game. Really think about it as a night out.
This is a hell of a lot of fun, and I don't know what we're going to do with all this food. I feel terrible that I haven't been able to eat all of it yet. And there's more coming.
We should just make Sarah eat more food.
No, but I get anxious because I worry about it. I just want to make sure that everybody's enjoying, and you've got all these awesome drinks here. Is there booze in the drinks, though? Do we know?
I think we're still trying to investigate that. I want to say no, but if you want to give it a go and let us know.
He's giving me that. I don't know.
I'm not
maybe.
Afraid.
Maybe. I don't know.
Dan, I'm not
Saturday,
afraid.
Saturday, Marshall
afraid.
Harris is in effect. It is, and I do want to say this. Dan always talks about the performance aspect that is at games and how they have one of the best in-game experiences in the league. And I do think that is true. So that is something that he's genuinely interested in. We talk about it a lot offline.
And we talk about it, too, and the effect that it has on the basketball. That people come for the everything. And people are not going to necessarily be like, well, the Bulls are underperforming, the Bulls are retooling, I'm not going to games, because there's still reasons to go to these games. And it sometimes, I'm not sure where the incentivization is necessarily, you're almost too good at your job is what I'm saying.
Well, thank you. It's definitely a team effort, and I think we just want to try to provide fans with experiences they want to see. They care very deeply sometimes what the halftime performances are, right? So we spend a lot of time thinking about that and plotting those out and making sure that they appeal to everybody.
Are there any halftime performances we should be advertising now saying, can't wait till so-and-so is performing at halftime?
Well, I would say tonight at halftime, I want to keep people kind of on the edge of their seat, but it's definitely one of our most popular and fan favorite halftime performances. I will tell you that. Maybe you could guess what it is.
I don't,
Red Panda.
Red Panda would be my first guess, literally, because I love Red Panda. I'm mesmerized, and like halftime goes by, and I was supposed to go to the bathroom. But no, I'm watching Red Panda. I'm not going anywhere. That's usually my first guess.
I was always good with Jesse White tumblers, but that's just showing my age.
I'd say you're on to something.
There it is. Okay, so we're throwing balls up and catching them our head. Listen, I can't do any of that stuff. So like I said, it's like you don't want it to go wrong, and it's the prospect of it going right versus going wrong keeps you locked in. And people just stay in their seats.
Shout out to Quick Change as well. That was always one of my
favorites. Oh, yeah, that's a popular favorites. One as well. Yeah. We'll have some halftime scrimmages as well from some of our youth hoops teams. So trying to bring in basketball, youth basketball, all of that as well.
Awesome. Yeah, we love the kids.
Yes. Always.
Sarah, thanks for the hospitality. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having me. We're excited to start the season and have everybody back here at the UC.
And thanks for the awesome food. We can give some to Kendall Gill, who conveniently
he
showed up at the right time.
He never eats anything.
He's running. He's got the 60-40.
Can't even eat.
This is a Bulls party. We got food. We can host people now, thanks to everybody.
Sarah Smith, Bulls Executive Director of Marketing, has been our guest. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have plenty more to come, including that man just mentioned, Kendall Gill, who is going to sit down here and pop in next and talk some Bulls basketball with us. Bernstein and Harris, Layla Rahimi on The Score.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.